Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Joe Benigno and Evan Roberts on The Fan.
Joe and Evan. Evan and Joe. On WFAN Sports Radio. If you want to be in the New York, no. Gotta go to Joe and
This is it. The final midday show before our reunion. Our Monday 10 a.m. reunion, because Joe has one more vacation day. He's probably watching the British Open, the Open Championship. And then on Monday, we are together again. But I'm Evan Roberts, and I'm here until 1 o'clock this afternoon. Dove and Ernie are here. John Minko is here. Did a fine job on the morning show. I got so many tears in my eyes, and I don't know why. And I'm not crying. It's just I am so freaking exhausted from last night's Met game and the fact that I stayed up to watch this mess that I'm not only tired, but, like, Ernie, you could see it. My eyes are just bloodshot red. It looks as if I'm crying. I'm not crying. It just, oh, my God, it was so much. But you know what? I'm not even going to start there, because I figure anybody that watched that Met game, anybody that hung in there until the end, they're probably not listening to the radio right now. They're probably passed out. They're either passed out at work or they took the day off and they're sleeping. So I get to the Mets a little bit later on. Let's start with the fact that the New York Yankees won the American League East yesterday, and the fact that Monday night is now officially a footnote in the dustpan of baseball history. And that was the thing about Monday night's loss. Monday night's loss, as bad as it was, with Aroldis Chapman throwing that 3-2 slider to Travis d'Arnaud that he deposited into the right field seats to give the Tampa Bay Rays a come-from-behind victory, I understood being upset, that being a frustrating loss. But all of that was going to be defined by the next few days. And the New York Yankees damn well defined it, because they responded the following night with a great victory. And after that rainout on yesterday, they did what is normally impossible. They swept a doubleheader. And so you could take the Tampa Bay Rays, you could wave at them and say, see you in late September, when those games are going to be meaningless for the Yankees in terms of winning the American League East. And what you saw yesterday in game one, and trust me, we'll get to Boone in a second, was a few of the things that has made this Yankee team in 2019 special so far. Number one, Domingo Germán. Because when this season started, or going back to March and February, Domingo Germán's name was mentioned as a swing guy, as an extra guy, as, hey, if there are any injuries, Domingo Germán could step up. Well, boy, has he stepped up. And what is so encouraging is when he started to slow down before he went on the injured list and revealed he had a hip issue, there was a healthy skepticism, I was certainly one of them, that we have now seen the best of Domingo Germán. Well, that's not true. Because since coming off the injured list, he's been awesome. And we've also seen him twice now have a little bit of a rocky first inning against the Mets. First pitch, I think, home run to Jeff McNeil. Yesterday, the home runs early, and then just settle down and give you six quality innings like he did yesterday in a day in which you know you're going to have to use your bullpen. You know you're using a bullpen day in game two, and Domingo was still able to go out there and give you six strong innings. That's part number one of the story of the 2019 season, guys stepping up. The other guy who stepped up all year is Gio Urshela, and he does it again. Just when you think he's finally starting to become normal, he hits a big two-run home run. Now let's get to this ejection, because what made the ejection special is not necessarily what Aaron Boone said, which was magical, all right? And we'll go through what Aaron Boone said and how it's going to be printed on a million T-shirts and how this is now the rallying cry for the 2019 Yankees. But what made this special is that we heard it. I mean, how many times throughout the course of a season does a manager lose their you-know-what on an umpire? Happens all the time, but very rarely do we get the beauty of hearing it. We heard Terry Collins and his famous tirade a year after it happened. I think more than a year after it happened, a year and a half after it happened. The tirade against the Dodgers with Noah Syndergaard. You put my ass in the jackpot. Was that the line? Something in the jackpot or in the grinder? Whatever it was. But that was magical. And for Met fans, they looked at Terry Collins very differently after that tirade came out. But the tirade came out a year and a half later. And like I said, you don't think Terry Collins has had other tirades? You don't think managers have had amazing tirades that we never get to hear? We never get to hear them. So what made yesterday special is that we heard it. And I have no idea where this John Boy gets it, but he's the guy. He's the guy who tweeted it out there. Everybody's retweeting him. And he's going to join us later. He came on a few months ago, and we argued about the DH because I enjoy his podcast. And now we're going to bring him on as a guest because the guy's big time. I mean, the guy essentially, more so than Boone, because what Boone did was fine, was great. We can analyze the impact of it. But we wouldn't have heard it. I mean, how many rants do we never hear from a manager or a player? We would have seen him be upset. We would have tried to read his lips, but we wouldn't have heard those words. And instead, we heard him. And if you missed him, I'll read him to you, and I'll clean it up. My guys are bleeping savages in that bleeping box. And you're having a piece of bleep start to this game. I feel bad for you. But bleeping get better. Forget the savage part. That's getting all the attention. I love how condescending he was to this cat. Be bleeping better. That guy's a good pitcher. But our guys are bleeping savages in that box. Our guys are savages in that bleeping box. Tighten it up right now, okay? Tighten this blank up. And I'll tell you something very underrated about this. At the very beginning of this game, very beginning, I'm talking 2-3 pitches into this game, Ken Singleton made a very, you know, at the time, innocuous comment about the home plate umpire, a gentleman named Brennan Miller, who I think I've heard of 95% of the umpires in baseball. Never heard of the guy. You agree, Ernie? You've heard of all the umpires. Had you ever heard of Brennan Miller until yesterday?
No, we just came up in April, right?
Right. But still, we never watched any game where I'm like, oh, that name sounds somewhat familiar. But Ken Singleton pointed out of the gate, hey, this guy's only umpired 5 games behind home plate. And it was almost like giving that warning out to anybody watching this game that this guy's got no idea what he's doing. And he gave us that warning before anything happened. And certainly as you're watching, the strike zone was a mess. I mean, let's be honest. And I don't think it was necessarily just bad against the Yankees. It was just bad. And I know he's in a tough spot. He's a young guy. And I always say this about baseball players or athletes in general that learn new positions. You need to get reps out there. It's like anything in life. You can't just expect to be great at something. You have to work hard at it. And so certainly Brennan Miller has a chance someday to be a very competent home plate umpire. But he's not right now. And so you could tell early that he was awful. And you could tell early that there was a lot of barking going on. The other comedy in this whole thing is Brett Gardner. Now, give Brett Gardner credit, because Brett Gardner is the same guy who throws a helmet against the wall, it bounces off the wall, hits him in the face, guy needs stitches. So this time, he's there with the bat, and he's poking the ceiling like his neighbors above him are making too much noise. And the underrated part is you got Aaron Hicks standing right there trying to hold in laughs. Because Aaron Hicks wants to crack up, but he also knows, hey, my teammate's genuinely annoyed. I can't just start laughing. I'm not laughing at the fact that he's annoyed. I'm laughing at the fact that he's taking a bat and he's jamming it against the top of the dugout. But the other piece of audio that was great was LeMahieu. Because DJ LeMahieu, who I never even knew spoke, I thought he just doesn't say anything other than just get base hits. That's all he does. He doesn't speak. He just gets base hits with runners in scoring position. And he is so eloquent in saying, come on, Brennan. That's outside, man. So he's being nice about it. And then Boone loses his mind. But what I loved about that rant is the I feel bad for you. You got to get better. Tighten it up. Tighten it up. The savage part is fine. I understand why that is now going to become the slogan for the Yankees, if you will. That is the thumbs down of 2019. Everybody's selling T-shirts now for the savages, and I totally get that. By the way, you know this is about to happen. Someone is going to be very upset that that word was used, all right? So that's coming. Just be prepared. But I loved how condescending he was to Brennan. And can we give Brennan a little bit of credit? He kind of held his own a little bit. You know, we get annoyed when an umpire gives it back to a manager, saying, hey, stop being the show, just take it. Brennan took it, man. I mean, threw him out of the game, and he stood there toe-to-toe with Aaron Boone as he's condescending the you-know-what out of him, and he just took it. But here's the thing about what happened with all of us seeing that. Aaron Boone's approval rating amongst Yankee fans has skyrocketed. Now, I don't know if that's going to last. You know, ask George H.W. Bush. Approval ratings that hit 90% may not last. George H.W. Bush had an approval rating of like 89%, right? And then a year later, the election happened, his approval fell apart. So trust me, Aaron Boone makes a couple of bad managerial moves in the divisional series. Yankees get knocked out in four. We'll be taking phone calls throughout October about how you got to get rid of Aaron Boone. But right now in this moment, Aaron Boone is as popular with Yankee fans as he's ever been. And the difference between him and Terry Collins is when Collins got that popularity bump after the audio came out of the Dodger argument, Collins was already gone. It was too late. So this was the best thing that could happen to Boone. And what makes him look even better is how the players come out and basically say, oh, yeah, it inspired us. Now, there's no way to ever prove that. Who knows? I mean, maybe the Yankees were just, they're good. The Yankees are a very good baseball team. I don't know if you guys realize that. They're really, really good. They're the best team right now, pound for pound, in the American League. The only team in baseball that you can say definitively has been better would be the Los Angeles Dodgers. That's it. So they're good. So I think there's a very good chance that they get to Chirinos. They win game one anyway. They win game two anyway. We've seen them do that. They're a very capable baseball team. But what made Boone look even better is you got Luke Voigt coming out saying, oh, yeah, he calls us savages. You got Judge saying, yeah, it fired us up. This has made Aaron Boone look fantastic. Now, I got a few tweets from people, and I totally get where they're coming from, saying, hey, Evan, don't you think we need more of this? Don't you think Major League Baseball should do a better job of miking managers, miking umpires, because this is real and people love it? Here's the problem. A part of why Aaron Boone was so ridiculously awesome yesterday with his rant is that he didn't think it was going to end up on John Boy's Twitter. He didn't know that. One of the biggest issues is when you mic a player and you mic a coach. Now, sometimes they'll mic a coach and they'll take you into the room before a game. It's forced. It's fake. It's not real. They're not telling you everything they would actually say. What made Boone awesome, what made Collins awesome, is that that was real. Now, was he doing it for his players a little bit? Maybe. That's a part of the gig right now. We talk about it all the time. It's all about being a player's manager, right? So, sure, maybe he was putting on a little bit of a show for his players, but he was not doing that thinking there were going to be T-shirts sold called The Savages. He didn't think that was going to end up on social media and end up becoming the biggest story out of New York baseball last night. Forget that the Yankees swept the Rays, that the Mets gave you a punch in the you-know-what. The biggest story is Aaron Boone talking about his savages. So if you start to purposely mic stuff like this and release it for everybody, it's going to become forced. This was real. That's what made it awesome. This was real. But I am so curious to think about, let's take Joe Girardi. Because I like Joe Girardi. I think he was a very good manager for the Yankees. And I think one of the most memorable things about Joe Girardi's managerial tenure was getting ejected in Atlanta in 2009. Francisco Cervelli hit a game-winning home run. Tony Pena stepped up and managed. Yankees won that game. They went on a run, ran away with the division. Girardi has cited that as a big moment in his managerial tenure, year two as manager of the Yankees. We don't know what he said to the umpire that day. And Joe used to lose it, man. I mean, Girardi, the veins popping out of his skull was awful. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Girardi had revealed to Mike recently that when he got ejected in Atlanta, he actually asked for the ejection. I think I heard that right. So sometimes I'm sure that happens with a manager where they come out and say, look, just throw me out, man. I got to fire up my team. But the realness of that rant yesterday, and I'm telling you, the savage part's like, whatever, that's fine. I mean, I don't,
He thinks his guys are savages. But the best part to me was, I feel bad for you. Get better. That is awesome. It is condescending. And I think right now Yankee fans love Aaron Boone. Now, that honeymoon may not last forever, but they're in first place. They're going to win this American League East. Any doubt that is out there has been completely thrown out the window. And you've got a manager now that I think Yankee fans look at and said, yeah, that guy's awesome. And oh, by the way, the Yankees took care of business in game two. And what was really encouraging about game two is who they beat. They beat a starting pitcher that has been as good as almost anybody in baseball this year in Charlie Morton. That's a guy, the kind of guy you're going to have to go through to win a world championship. And they got to him eventually, helped out by Mike Zunino calling a timeout and forcing Charlie Morton into a balk. But here's the moral of this story. Remember Monday night? Remember that brutal loss? It doesn't mean a damn thing anymore.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.